It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if they're special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each and every one of you for joining us. Greatly appreciate you. You each have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Thank you to this team that I get to work with. Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is Tuesday, Producer Steve, and there's still much work to do.
Oh, tell me about work. One day away and... Gee whiz, there's a lot of work just to make up for that. And but the good news is you don't have the joy of telling me happy Monday.
It is Tuesday, and it is a great day because in studio with me is my friend. She's an entrepreneur. She's the owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, a great sponsor of the show. Susan Kochevar, great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So we were coming up in the elevator. I said, my gosh, so much has happened since you were last here, and it's just been a month.
It's only a month.
The world has changed so significantly.
It has.
And I was talking to Steve on the pre-call, and it's just remarkable what has happened since Biden has taken office, what has happened to our country. It's just unbelievable.
I'm terrified for the next 8 months if we don't find a way to curb them.
I tell you, it's something. Steve, what's your thoughts?
Well, you specifically had asked if anything's new out of Afghanistan, and I don't know if anything's new or not. We're getting deeper and deeper into a stalemate, and you know, you said, I just can't comprehend what's happening, and as I had the same issue, but I'm thinking we keep playing ball in a certain method, you know, the Judeo-Christian background that we come from, we know, we almost take for granted. And the Afghans don't know anything like that.
Or so, the Taliban.
And the Taliban. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's probably mm-hmm. more important to say it that way. Mm-hmm. But we probably should not be surprised.
Yes. I think that we are a bit naive with what is occurring there. And it looks very much like it's turning into a hostage situation. And it looks like the State Department is helping them, Susan.
Yeah, I think the very next thing we're going to see is a giant plane load of money just land in Afghanistan to release the people on the tarmac. I think this is a plan.
Boy.
Gee, have we seen that before?
No, never.
I saw your post on Facebook this morning and I thought, oh my gosh, she's right on.
And what was that post, Steve?
Well, just what she just said. There's going to be a large sum of money being flown in, and don't even get me started. Sorry.
That must be why they're going to do the 3.5, that they're proposing the 3.5 trillion spending plan, huh?
Probably. It looks like the plan is to break the United States, and we've just armed a country with more weapons than most of the countries have, and now I think they'll give them a bunch of money. I mean, it just... It is too big of a fiasco not to be a plan.
I know. Because you have to work to really be that incompetent.
You really do.
For sure. So continue on here, though. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, and our most recent podcast. We took the weekend off on podcasts and op-eds just because it was Labor Day weekend, and I think everybody was having their last hurrah of summer. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and I thank you, all of you, for supporting us. We are an independent voice, and I greatly appreciate you. Let's see here. Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week is September 13th through the 19th. That's not this week. That's next week. It's hard to believe.
It is.
But it's going to be a great celebration. It's their 10th anniversary. I would recommend that you come up and join us. They're going to have events all week. You can go to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com for more information on that. I highly recommend go ahead and get your reservations made. If they're sold out, and they're going to be for sure if they're not by now, you can make reservations over in Granby or in Fraser as well. And these shows come to you because I have great sponsors like Susan Kochevar with the 88 Drive-In Theater. Another great sponsor is Hooters Restaurants with five locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have lunch specials Monday through Friday. They have $8 items, $9 items, and $10 items. We've not seen inflation at Hooters yet. That's great, that government-induced inflation. Mm-hmm. And so be sure and check that out. Susan, as you know, we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's, and the list keeps growing. But their rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood mm-hmm. via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation. I was thinking about it on the way in. There's all kinds of tax increases on the ballot, both at the municipal level and also at the state level. And after a year that we've come through, government doesn't need to grow anymore.
Oh, heck no.
I think the answer, even without doing research, should be no on all mm-hmm. of them.
For sure.
Because I don't see any government employees that lost their jobs while people were losing their businesses.
No.
When you go by and you see all these empty storefronts, mm-hmm. these restaurants that are closed, I'm looking at that, I'm like, these were people's dreams. Yeah. They'd put their money into that. And to think, like in my city, Lone Tree, they are proposing a 55% increase in our sales taxes. That's significant. And so highly recommend no on all these questions.
Yeah, and I can tell you as a business owner, we are in denial about what's happening to us. We are sinking deeper and deeper into socialism, communism, just like Venezuela. We are already seeing massive shortages. Business owners can't get change, you can't get supplies, and it's hard to get employees. And just because this federal unemployment is coming off now, I'm not so sure we're going to see that much of an uptick in employment because employers can't hire. When you have those gas prices go up, all of the costs of goods go up. Everything in this country is trucked. We are in severe trouble, and I really don't know where we're going to be next spring. We have got to wake up and realize what's happening. These shortages are going to get worse. I do see some glimmers of hope on the horizon, but please wake up.
Well, and so we need to say no on all of these tax increases.
Yes.
Government does not need to grow. We need to keep government limited. That America was founded on this idea that governments stay within specific lanes. It's way out of their lanes. And one of the first things to do is make sure that you don't continue to grow the revenues of government through, and this is actually a misnomer. And one of my colleagues that is a no on this Lone Tree sales tax increase as well. He said that actually, and this is what progressive, and they're really regressive, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties don't understand, is that people are economic actors. So for example, right now, Lone Tree has a lower sales tax rate than many of the other communities around. Not all of them, but
right.
many of them. And so people will vote with their feet. They will come and shop at, for example, the Costco or the Sam's Club in Lone Tree because the sales tax is lower and they will pay less on a big ticket item. But you start to bring parity, as was one of the things that the mayor and the city council say we need to bring parity to the other communities around the area, is people will not drive. And so in essence, they think they'll increase their tax revenue because they think that's going to remain static, the people coming here. It changes. And higher taxes, actually, and we saw it with the Donald Trump presidency. When taxes were lowered, when regulation was lowered, the economy boomed.
Sure.
When you have more regulation, more taxes, then ultimately government grows, but the private sector contracts.
Sure. When people have more money to spend and they're buying more things, and then your sales tax goes up just by sheer volume. In fact, that's how I operate my business. I keep my prices low and I make it up in volume.
And that's the thing that politicians and bureaucrats and interest parties don't understand.
Well, they produce nothing. Government produces absolutely nothing, and it doesn't understand how things are produced, and it doesn't care about people at all. It simply cannot.
Well, and when you talk about not caring about people, the Democrat Party has said we're the people that care, But once that they left all of many of our Americans behind in Afghanistan, it's kind of like I'm not seeing you caring so much.
No, and the thing about it is not only they just leave them behind, but the brutality of the Taliban and the things that they do. Man's capacity to do heinous things is seemingly unlimited. And I think that we have been coddled in this country. I don't think people understand that. A few years ago, when we were fighting the Taliban, we did see some of the brutal things that they did in videos.
Beheadings, putting people in cages and burning them. And none of that happened during the Trump administration.
No, interestingly.
And now we're into the Biden administration. And guess what?
It's back.
It's back, unfortunately. So anyway, continue on. It's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable, excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. You just alluded to that with our gas prices.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So our quote for today is from Glenn Greenwald, and he's an American journalist, author, and lawyer. In 1996, he founded his own law firm, which concentrated on First Amendment litigation. He began blogging on national security issues in October of 2005, while he was becoming increasingly concerned with what he viewed to be attacks on civil liberties by the George W. Bush administration. He was born in 1967. Which I'm just going to make a comment here. The Patriot Act, which was passed after 9/11, I did not feel comfortable with it.
No.
However, I listened to this. We need to do this to keep us safe. But I saw at that time danger. But I'm like, okay, to keep us safe. We need to always make sure that we adhere to the U.S. Constitution.
That's always the way freedom is taken, whether it's a virus or an attacker or whatever, to keep you safe. You know, one of the things I did not understand about Nazi Germany is that they told all the Jewish people, get on the trains, we want to take you away from the front here to protect you and keep you safe. Well, that's not where those trains were going.
Right. And people got on willingly. Of course, the other thing is that they had taken away their firearms as well.
That's true. One other thing I want to say about Afghanistan. It's not that I'm saying that we should never been there and you don't want to fight a war there. So I'm not against pulling out and ending that war. But
they're
not
two different questions.
The way we did.
Two different questions for sure. So this is what Glenn said, because in our third and fourth segment, we're going to be talking with Adam Angieski, who is the CEO of Open the Books, about all of this equipment that we left behind and what that means exactly. And so transparency is super important, and Open the Books has been doing a lot of great work on that. And he said this, he said, secrecy is the linchpin of abuse of power. It's enabling force. Transparency is the only real antidote. Mm-hmm. So we need to, not only if what we're looking at in Afghanistan, but if we're looking at our elections, across the board, we expect government to be transparent. And when they're not, then we should get very suspect on this, Susan.
Yeah, all their checkbooks should be online, always. Everything should be online.
That's an excellent idea. Mm-hmm. I know that Natalie Minton has been working on getting that online. That's a great idea.
She has.
Yeah. So, hey, let's go to break. In our second segment, we'll be talking with Danny Bristow. And he is with FEC United, and he is their Colorado Pillar of Commerce. That sounds great, Pillar of Commerce. I don't know if I have that title exactly right, but we're going to go to break. Susan Kochvar with 88 Drive-In Theaters in studio. We'll be right back with Danny Bristow.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the freedom, through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. In studio with me is show sponsor, friend, entrepreneur, that is Susan Kochevar with 88 Drive-In Theater. And you've been open.
Yep.
Which has been pretty great.
We've been open.
And people have wanted to get out.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a good season. We will be closed this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in observation of 9/11.
Okay.
I think some focus needs to be brought on that.
It's a very solemn occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, 20 years for sure. I'm excited to have on the line with me Danny Bristow. And he is the Colorado Commerce Pillar Director for FEC United. And commerce is right down your alley, Susan Kochevar. Danny, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Danny, tell us what you are doing, what we have seen over the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, which has become 18 months. And government picking winners and losers by picking which businesses were essential, which weren't. I've seen a number of small businesses that have gone out of business. It breaks my heart. And you are with FEC United and with the commerce component of that. So what are you doing about this?
Yes, ma'am. So our goal with FEC United is to restore liberty, demand accountability within the commerce section of our pillars. Our goal in commerce is to see business owners and employees thrive and prosper without restriction, you know, in a truly free market, you know, as it was intended. Being a small business owner myself, last year there was an executive order that came out, D-2020-017. In that order, it stated on page 2 that all businesses other than those qualified as critical businesses needed to close down temporarily, except as necessary to engage in minimum basic operations needed to protect assets and maintain personnel functions. When I saw that, I knew that I had to share that information with as many people as possible. Now, through FEC United, our goal is to support as many small to medium-sized businesses as we possibly can. Our ultimate goal is to have the commerce pillar become an extension of like a chamber of commerce so that we can offer support within our local communities for any small businesses that are being pushed in the area of maybe closing their doors again. And we're working towards preparing for, you know, the fall and the winter seasons coming. That's when people start to get more sick and maybe restrictions are going to start to come down the chain once again. So that's our goal, is to help them keep their doors open.
In Colorado, I think, Danny, is at the tip of the spear with much of the bad legislation, bad executive orders that are come down. And then I think that we're kind of a petri dish, and they try it out here, and then they like to export it to other states. That's why I think Colorado is so important, Danny. And Susan, comments on that?
No, I totally agree. I think one of the other things we need to look into is all of these shortages that are just killing small businesses. I can't find candy right now. We can't get change. It's terrible.
Danny, what are you seeing?
You know, I see the same thing. When I walk around, you know, I call it, you know, manufactured scarcity.
Yes,
exactly.
You know, being alive my entire life, I've never seen anything like this. And it's the same with all industries, whether the cost of lumber is going up or, you know, making T-shirts and you can't find certain sizes or colors because they're just not being manufactured because they're short on employees because of whatever restrictions are happening. And that's all over the country, all over the world. I do agree that Colorado is at the tip, and they're pushing the narrative of closing down small businesses quite forcefully. And I saw that last year, just like everybody else has seen it. while there's an appearance that, you know, businesses are thriving and open and running, there was a report that I found, a statistic that showed, you know, typically small businesses make up 44% of the GDP throughout the United States. And there was a report that was run that about 38% of businesses will never open their doors again in Colorado. And that was a statistic run out of 45 states, and we were in the top five. Now, we were tied with another state. Off the top of my head, I can't remember what that state is, but that's a massive impact on small businesses, which also is going to massively impact the GDP throughout the entire United States. And that's something that we cannot allow to have happen again moving into the fall and winter seasons.
You know, Danny, to your point, I think that we're going to see another jobs report that's not as hot as they think it is going to be. I know they're pulling off those federal unemployment funds, but small businesses are already so damaged in dealing with these shortages and high gas prices. I don't think it's right. The next report won't be good either.
I agree. And I find it interesting, you know, that it's even called support. It's like a problem is created and then magically, you know, whether it's federal or local government, they now have a solution to help those small businesses. What helps small businesses thrive is keeping our doors open, allowing our customers to come in and be patrons and to spend their money in our businesses. And for us as individual human beings to allow ourselves, you know, to do what's right and to help take care of other human beings as best as we possibly can. But these regulations that were placed upon us, it's impossible, you know, to keep a business open for an extended period of time.
Yep. Danny, let's talk about taxation. I am seeing this particular election cycle here in 2021, a number of municipalities, a number of, in the state as well, there's some tax increases on the ballot. And I really think that at this particular point in time, now is not a time to even think about raising taxes, because I'm very concerned about excessive and unpredictable taxation. And an example would be property taxes. The Gallagher Amendment was there was a lot of money that came in to defeat the Gallagher Amendment. And under the guise of helping small businesses, they said, oh, the small businesses are taxed at a much, their property taxes are at a much higher rate than residential. We want to make sure that we help our small businesses. Well, guess what? I'm not seeing much help there. And we're seeing taxes go up significantly on property taxes just because of higher assessed valuation, which is a hidden taxation. But these tax issues that are on the ballot this year, I think we need to say no. There's too many businesses out there that have gone out of business for government to be growing significantly. Your thoughts?
I agree with that. And I think raising taxes is obviously a typical trend that, you know, we see over and over. Every single time that there's an issue and we want to keep these, you know, certain programs open, we're going to need some more funding. Here's our budget report. It shows that we're in the negative, that we're overspending. And if you love these, if you love these programs so much, we're going to need your help. And then they come to the community and they try to play us, you know, to feel bad, to say, okay, you're right. I really do want to keep these programs and I want to keep these small businesses alive. I'm going to go ahead and let you raise my taxes, you know, and that's through the budget reports. There's a report called the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual mm-hmm. Financial Report. Most people don't talk about that, but if anybody would look at those reports within their local counties, cities, states, and federal government, all of them show these reports once a year. It would show that there's a positive liquid cash assets that we have on hand as a country. I think it's an illusion, just like manufactured scarcity. It's manufactured taxation. And they continue to come after us. And if we continue to say yes, raise our taxes, that's what they're going to continue to do. So I would agree with you, and we need to say no.
So, Danny, this is important work that is going on here. Are you interfacing with the governor's office, with legislators, with city councils, county commissioners? How's that going?
You know, there is a branch of FEC United that focuses on politics and policies. And we do have people in those areas that are in tune with what's going on in our, you know, counties, within cities, and the state. And we're actively working towards, you know, making sure that we can participate in those areas to bring in local community leaders that can run for certain positions, whether it's, you know, precinct leader, all the way up to, you know, to governor one day is what we're looking at. And like I said, we're being active to get out in there in the streets, go door knocking, talk to neighbors and local community members, and find out, you know, what is the community really looking for? And while we're out there speaking to people, are we coming across people that are just natural leaders that could take over these positions?
Okay. Danny, thank you for the work that you're doing. How can people get more information?
You can go to fecunited.com, and you can check out the website there and gather information. If you find that anything on the website resonates with you, please feel free to become a member. It's $60 for a year. And then those finances help us build and grow a stronger foundation so that we can push forward and help our communities the best that we possibly can.
Well, Danny Bristow, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me on.
And again, that's fecunited.com, fecunited.com. And before we go to break, Susan, I wanted to just mention a piece that was in Complete Colorado. It was an op-ed by Corey Gaines. And it said, the title is, "Don't Be Fooled by Jared Polis' Sudden Bout of Civility." He said, "My news feed lately has been full of stories touting the novelty of our Democrat governor attending a conservative conference. This was, in many of the stories, touted as a marvel. So while I salute any politician with a genuine desire to try and reach across what is becoming an increasingly polarized society, I find myself startled at the approbation coming seemingly from all corners. To me, this is less a marvel than the maneuvering of an experienced career politician. Despite what you might see on the backs of pickup trucks, I don't think that my governor is an idiot. In terms of a political instinct, I think Jared Polis is actually pretty savvy." I would agree with that.
Devious is my word, but yes.
"And he has, as John Caldera put it, a knack for knowing the right thing to say at the right time, a knack for knowing what to do to get a particular message out in the press. He also knows enough to avoid genuinely difficult situations. His press events may happen all over the state, but the events are as carefully choreographed, and attendees are vetted thoroughly enough to avoid any public discomfort." And what he's alluding to is the Steamboat Institute had a panel with him and Arthur Laffer. And Arthur Laffer is the author of the
Laffer Curve.
Yeah, Laffer yep. Curve. There you go. And really was one of the guys behind the Reagan Great Economy.
Lower taxes, make it up in volume.
Yes. And so apparently, Jared Polis has kind of mentioned that he might want to get rid of the income tax here in Colorado.
Does he?
And that is something that Laffer would like. But I can't quite understand, and I know that they're friends, mm-hmm. I can't quite understand how Laffer didn't call him out on all of the regulations and the government picking winners and losers on businesses and the lack of the free economy that we have here, Susan.
Aren't Laffer's, he's an interesting character, perpetually optimistic, which gives me pause sometimes with him, but yeah. You know, one of the reasons why Jared Polis would want to do this is because if you break the taxes down into all these little things, then it's very hard to target taxes in general and lower them.
Oh, you've nailed it.
When you go to, you know, whereas the income tax goes up or even the property tax, that's much easier to target. But when you break it all down, you have so many little factions, it's hard to get them
point.
To fight together.
That's an excellent point, Susan Kochevar. Let's go to break. When we come back, I know this is something you've been very concerned about, and that is all of the equipment that we left in Afghanistan. And I thought the person to talk to about this is Adam Angieski, because he is the CEO of Open the Books, and he had a piece in Forbes, I think, where he talked about this. And so I thought he's the guy to talk to, so we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. So thrilled to have in studio with me Susan Kochevar. She is an entrepreneur. She's the owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, and she's been a show sponsor for a long time.
Quite a while.
Really appreciate that. I'm excited about this conversation with Adam Angieski. He is the CEO of Open the Books. Adam, welcome to the show.
Great to be on the program, Kim. Thank you.
Adam, you have, I think it's been astonishing for Americans to watch what has happened with the exit of Afghanistan. And first and foremost, the American military code is to never leave a man behind. And we have left men and women behind, which is truly astounding, Adam.
Well, we're still not sure how many. Estimates range up to 500 American citizens are still in country, and obviously the planes are still on the tarmac, about six of them. Look, the American taxpayer, we just did a oversight report quantifying U.S. foreign aid over the most recent six-year period available, and we've been very generous with foreign countries. We poured nearly $300 billion over that six-year period into U.S. foreign aid. The country that was the number one recipient out of 170 countries that received our taxpayer money from around the world, Afghanistan was number one, and we were putting $6 billion a year in direct foreign aid into that country, which was twice the amount that we were putting into military equipment and training. So you hear this $83 billion figure on U.S. equipment, military equipment and training over a 20-year period in Afghanistan. That was vastly dwarfed by ineffectual, hashtag failure, foreign aid.
$6 billion in foreign aid, what was that supposed to go for, Adam?
Well, we ran all kinds of social experiments in Afghanistan. And one of those social experiments, which is probably the most expensive failure of a public relations campaign in the history of the world, we put between $4 and $5 billion into an Afghan Respect Women campaign. Maybe noble goals, right? But it was to teach the Taliban and other organizations in Afghanistan to respect their women. And obviously, that was a gross waste of American treasure.
$4 to $5 billion in Respect Women. What I am finding,
Here's another campaign.
Oh, go ahead.
Here's another abject failure. And it's a large amount of money, $10 billion over 20 years, we put into fighting the poppies, the opioids, the narcotics in Afghanistan with no measurable results, zero, zip at the end of the day. As a matter of fact, the United Nations, of all people, just described Afghanistan as a narco state after $10 billion and no measurable results.
It seems to me, Adam, somebody must have gotten rich off of this.
Oh, the dollars were flowing. On the Respect Women campaign, they started that campaign, and the billions of dollars were flowing into the country. At the same time, they were drawing down military aid. So people just converted. In Afghanistan, people jumped on the Respect Women campaign and took the American taxpayer dollar.
Wow. And where has all that money gone? Because it looks to me like there's still a lot of poverty in Afghanistan, at least from some of the pictures.
Kim, we built nothing that we can see, our auditors can see at OpenTheBooks.com, that was sustainable, whether it was militarily, whether it was flooding the small backward nation with weaponry, whether it was economically. Think about this. After 20 years, the gross domestic product of Afghanistan was $20 billion. And I want to put that in comparison. It's got the same number of people as California. The Californian economy is $3.2 trillion. Afghanistan virtually created no economy on their own outside of the United States taxpayer subsidy, which was about half of it, $9 billion. They had about an $11 billion economy. That's nothing for a nation of 40 billion people, and they're mineral-rich under their soil. And China understands that and is highly interested in Afghanistan.
Oh, boy. Okay, Adam, let's talk about the equipment that we left over there. It seems from a military strategy, first of all, you don't exit before you get all the people out. And secondly, you don't leave all the equipment so that the enemy can then use it. What happened?
Common sense, right? Well, we flooded this small backward country with, for instance, $600,000 worth of weaponry. And it's important to break that number down because that's a massive number. The Taliban supposedly had about 300,000. The Taliban had about 75,000 members. The Afghan National Security Forces that we were paying for and standing up had about 300,000 members. And we put 600,000 weapons into the country, into those security forces. Okay, you break it down, it's 350,000 rifles. Those are M4s and M16s. The Taliban know how to fire those. They know how to sell those. They know how to distribute those to terrorist networks around the world. You've got 64,000 machine guns that we have no idea where those are in country in Afghanistan. And the Taliban, again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out a machine gun. They know how to work those things. They know how to sell them. They know how to distribute those around the world. You've got 25,000 grenade launchers. Again, they know how to work them. You've got 2,600 mortars and howitzers. They know how to work those. Okay, these are not sophisticated weapons, and they're in the hands of the Taliban. You know, and it's disturbing.
What really bothers me, Adam, is we have open borders, and I wouldn't be surprised if the day that fell, some of those weapons were on their way to the United States.
Well, and like I said, you know, that's the weaponry the Taliban know how to use, distribute, sell to fund their operations. Kim, we just turned the Taliban into a major U.S. arms dealer for the next decade. You and I are going to be witness to the Taliban selling tickets to the Taliban terrorist gun show for many years.
It's remarkable. I'm speechless on this, and that takes a lot, Adam, to get me to that particular point. One of the arguments that we've heard out there is that, oh, they don't know how to use the equipment. Now, first of all, you've indicated that with all of this particular weaponry, it doesn't take long for people to figure that out. And of course, they've been practicing for quite some time. But that, oh, they'll never figure out how to fly the Black Hawk helicopters. Or, well, actually, we've seen that they can do that. And that, oh, they won't know how to repair that equipment. And I said to somebody, there's so much over there that they can cannibalize, one helicopter to put repairs on another helicopter. That'll happen.
I agree, Kim, but let's move beyond the airplanes and helicopters. We could easily shoot those out of the sky, wipe them out on a tarmac. Let's just go to vehicles. Okay, we went through all the weaponry that they can use that United States taxpayer generously paid for to put in country. Let's go to the vehicles. 22,000 Humvees we provided to Afghan security forces. We don't know where those Humvees are at. That is, like you said, that is a massive parts field. They may not be able to get every single Humvee up and running, but when you have 22,000 options to pull parts from, you can figure out those machines fairly quickly. We left 1,000 mine-resistant vehicles in the country. We gave them 185 armored personnel carriers to transport, the Taliban, ISIS-K, terrorist organizations, you name it. They can use the majority of this basic warfare equipment.
Well, and I saw, I'm not sure quite which headline it was, that one of the leaders here in America said that we're going to have to go back into Afghanistan. And somebody mentioned to me just recently that the real winner on this could be the U.S. arms manufacturers, because now they'll go to Congress and say, oh my gosh, the Taliban has all of this equipment, and we're going to need to upgrade our equipment so that we'll be able to fight that. And you could see all kinds of money going into the military-industrial complex. I thought that was a very interesting scenario. Adam, your thoughts?
Yeah, we just gave away major U.S. advantages. Let's discuss another one. And this hasn't gotten enough attention. So our auditors at OpenTheBooks.com, and your listening audience can read all about this. Just Google Forbes staggering cost, and the piece comes right up on the military equipment that we left behind. The piece has about 500,000 views on it. So one of the things that we were able to quantify is we've lost the nighttime advantage to the Taliban, of all people. We left 16,000 thermal imaging devices, night imaging devices in Afghanistan. Night vision goggles, they're expensive. They sell for up to $5,000 a piece, $2,500 to $5,000 a piece. We've left 16,000 pieces in country. There are sophisticated night thermal imaging sniper sites. We left those in country. They cost up to $35,000 a piece. We left other thermal imaging devices that cost up to $66,000 a piece. Our auditors estimate that we left behind on those 16,000 pieces of night vision equipment and thermal imaging equipment up to $100 million at taxpayer cost.
My gosh. Adam, you know what? Let's go to break. Is it easy for you to just go down? I've been taking notes. Is it easy for you to go down just to list everything that we left, or is it so extensive that that would be difficult? Or I guess you could give us highlights, huh?
I've just been going on memory. We've been doing a good job of walking through these different tranches of material and war gear that we've left behind and given to the Afghan security forces. And I've got more. I can do more.
Okay, great. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, want to make sure our Constitution, clearly, Susan Kochevar, is under attack. And that's why this 10th anniversary celebration of the premier Constitution Week in all of America up in Grand Lake, September 13th through September 19th, is the place to be. Go to Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week. .com for more information on that. Please join us. And I have the great honor to be the MC on the main event on Saturday. There's going to be a parade. It's such an appreciation of Americana. It's a great thing to do. And Susan, it's great to have you in studio here. You are a great friend. You're an entrepreneur, owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. You're still open,
yep,
which is great. You have you've been able to maintain that throughout all this because you were outside. A drive-in is a great place to be.
Absolutely.
So let's go to break. We'll continue the conversation with Susan Kochevar and Adam Angieski. We'll be right back.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us, and I so appreciate all my sponsors, such as Susan Kochevar with the 88 Drive-In Theater and Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Is home to the best blade makers from throughout the world. And whether or not you're a collector or a chef or a sportsman, or you need a gift, birthday or anniversary or wedding gift, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. Be sure and check them out at castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And again, they're a great sponsor of both my shows, The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories as well. Adam, during the break, Susan and I were talking, and I think we want to get to the why question here in just a minute, but give us a quick rundown just of what we left there.
So here's what we provided Afghan National Security Forces: up to 208 helicopters and airplanes, 600,000 weapons, including 350,000 M4s and M16s and 64,000 machine guns, and 25,000 grenade launchers. We also provided 16,000 night vision devices. Some of those night vision devices run up to $65,000 a piece for the super sophisticated ones. We actually left 75,000 vehicles, and that includes 50,000 tactical vehicles, 22,000 Humvees, 1,000 mine-resistant vehicles, and up to 200 armored personnel carriers.
Adam, there's really two things. I think it's important to keep them separate, and that is the war in Afghanistan is one thing, whether or not we should have been there, whether or not initially, I know I've talked to a number of veterans, they wanted to go in, and because after 9/11, defeat the Taliban, it sounds like that happened, and then we stayed for a lot, many more years, and that's one conversation over there. We're over here on this conversation, and that is the exit. And leaving all of this for your enemy, you either get it out of there or you destroy it. Unless, I mean, why? Why would they leave that there, Adam?
Well, it's a tremendous amount of equipment to move, and we couldn't get American citizens out of the country. So, of course, there was no plan to move all of this weaponry back out of the country. We had provided it to stand up the Afghan security forces and the Afghan National Army and built those forces over a 20-year period to 300,000 strong. Look, on paper, Afghanistan looked like a success story. On the ground, we left absolutely nothing sustainable, whether it was economically or military. We learned that in just a couple of days, everything got swept away.
Well, and speaking of all of this money that went to the honoring women kind of thing, with what I'm hearing potentially happening over there, there's not a lot of honoring women. In fact, I think women and girls are in significant danger. And so that's kind of beyond belief to me, Adam.
Yeah, I just read a piece, I believe it was in New York Magazine of all places, where they describe a woman's life under the Taliban. And you can't even go out of your hut. You can't even go outside oftentimes for years. Once a girl hits their teenage years, they'll disappear inside the family home, and they don't reemerge till they're a grandmother.
Wow.
That's horrific.
Yeah, that is. Adam, why did we not destroy this equipment? For sure, when you exit out of... Afghanistan, why do we not destroy that? If we can't get it out of there, why was there not a plan to destroy that instead of arming our enemy?
Well, and that's a great question, Kim. And here's the question that I want to posit for the Pentagon. You're building a Black Hawk helicopter, which can cost up to $21.3 million per helicopter. So why don't you, it couldn't cost much money in context. Why don't you put a kill switch on it that you can operate off a satellite that not only makes the helicopter inoperable, you can't fly it, but also destroys all the security and all the secrets on board. Just with the flip of the switch done by someplace in Alexandria, Virginia, from the Pentagon, that destroys that helicopter. Why didn't we build in the kill switches on such expensive equipment?
Boy, that is a very important question.
That's a very good point, yes. Yeah. And one other thing, too, I would put trackers on every single weapon. Think about the power you would have to follow these people around and figure out where they are after you disabled it.
That's Susan's comments on that, Adam. That seems like a good idea, too.
As they say, common sense isn't that common. That is a great idea.
Okay, Adam, anything else you want to say about Afghanistan? Because I want to talk about the other important work that you're doing.
Well, I just want to say it gets a little bit worse, as these things always do. So if you're an Afghan, part of the Afghan security forces, the Afghan National Army, and your extended network and family, the Taliban probably have the entire biometric database with very detailed 40 points on everybody, very detailed information on all of those people that served and their entire family clan network in Afghanistan. So they probably have 500,000 Afghanis that passed through that system because we had identity security. We knew who people were based on biometric information. The Taliban probably have that entire database and the biometric readers to start enforcing this on a house-to-house basis as they headhunt.
Well, and didn't I read that the Biden administration actually gave them lists of Afghanis that worked with us as well as Americans?
Well, they did, Kim, and this is mystifying to us. So think about this. On one hand, the Biden administration was perfectly transparent with the Taliban and handed off lists by name of American citizens and the Afghani nationals who had helped us. And the Taliban have a history of murdering those people. On the other hand, purely audit reports at the Government Accountability Office, the Inspector General for Afghan Reconstruction, these are the audit reports that my organization at OpenTheBooks.com used to build these weaponry reports. Those were pulled off the internet at the direction of the State Department. So we have a piece at Forbes that quantified Biden administration erased Afghan weapons reports from federal websites. They pulled 400 reports in Afghanistan offline. They did not want to be held accountable for this weaponry. But we had proactively captured those reports, and we post those reports on our website today at OpenTheBooks.com.
Boy, that is amazing work that you're doing, Adam. Susan, you had a comment?
Well, they promised transparency. This is, again, the least transparent administration ever.
Yeah.
Well, we're based in Illinois. It is the Super Bowl of corruption. So a long time ago, we learned that if you're going to do reporting on government documents, you pull them offline, you save them to your own hard drive just in case they pull them down. And I tell you, more often than not, they'll rip them off websites.
So you've seen quite a bit of that. Adam, we've got probably about 5 minutes left. Talk a bit about the other important work that you're doing. It seems that you've done some work here in Colorado as well. What do you want our listeners to know?
So follow our work. Come to OpenTheBooks.com. Sign our petition to urge Congress to simply read the legislation in front of them. It's a read the bill petition. Here's what it would do. It would create a 72-hour timeout after the final version of legislation is negotiated, before the final vote, so people, politicians, pundits, so we can read the bill and hold Congress accountable for what they're voting on. This has been turned into legislation by the U.S. Senator from Florida, Rick Scott, and it goes a step further, and we're very proud of it. Scott would actually require in the Senate an affidavit signature from every senator saying they read the bill.
Oh.
And it's great legislation. We're very proud that this petition, which already has about 20,000 signatures, has already been turned into legislation.
Boy, that is a really good plan, because there is no way we should be there's no way they should be passing legislation that they have not read. And this would slow this whole thing down, these 3,000-page pieces of legislation. It would stop that. That is brilliant, Adam.
Well, thank you. Yeah, do we really have a representative republic if our representatives aren't reading the bills they're voting on? So, it's basic. This is something we can all come together on. Even AOC agrees with this petition.
Aha.
And wasn't it Barack Obama who said they were going to put everything online before it was voted on?
Yeah, that was part of the Obama administration. Here's another thing we're working on. I think you'll really like this, Kim. So on Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, so I think that's 1 o'clock Mountain time, we're going to learn if we've been successful on our court case versus the California comptroller, Betty Yee. We sued the comptroller because she's the only state out of 50 that will not provide, subject to a Freedom of Information Act request under the California Public Records Act, a copy of the line-by-line transactions of exactly where the state of California spent over $300 billion. It's the state checkbook. We sued her. It's our third lawsuit. We've never lost a state checkbook transparency battle. The California Circuit Court judge renders his decision on September 9th at 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay, that would be 3 o'clock our time, Adam.
Aha. Right.
That is very exciting as well. So I'm going to just toss this out to you. You mentioned representative government, and we've got a ballot initiative that will be on our ballot this election cycle. And it is a proposed increased retail state marijuana tax for the children, for after-school programs for the kids. But I've read the complete 14 pages of this initiative, and it's so interesting. It puts in place the governing board is an unelected, unaccountable board that will be in charge of all this money and all of these programs. These people are selected by this governor, and they get to choose their replacements. Adam, what could go wrong with that?
Wow. Oh, my gosh. This is exactly part of the left trying to make elections obsolete. At the end of the day, despite all their rhetoric, they don't want policy to change virtue of an election. And what you've just described, this unelected board that gets to choose their own replacements, that's initially appointed, that's exactly what the left, their grand goal is to cement public policy, where you can't change it at the ballot box.
And you know what, Adam? We've got Republicans that are have their names on it as endorsers. Some good folks.
Well, Colorado should look to California. I just did a piece. We do a waste of the day piece at Real Clear Policy. And California, because they tax marijuana so high, they have driven the entire marijuana sales onto the illegal market basis. And so Colorado should look at the mistakes of California. It's a disaster over there.
And that is one of the points that I made, is that you increase taxes so much that it will, people will move over to the illegal market. Adam, we've got 30 seconds left. This has gone way too quickly. So fascinating. Thank you for the great work you're doing. What's your final thought?
Now's the moment. We got to step up. It's the shrinking American citizen in the United States, and now we've got to get large. We've got to raise our voice, and a part of that is being right here on your platform, Kim. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, Adam Andrzejewski. I appreciate it. And open the books. Be sure and check that out. Susan Kochevar, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm going to go to open the books and look to see what's there.
Okay, that sounds just great. And our quote for today, I knew it was going to be Adam, and I wanted to talk about transparency, and this is from Glenn Greenwald. He said, "Transparency is for those who carry out public duties and exercise public power. Privacy is for everyone else."
Yes.
My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.